Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you so much for that great singing. We're going to be in Psalm 33 for our final message. If you want to turn there, the 33rd Psalm. A couple of quick things. The video that we showed today, we'll be putting that on our website in a lower resolution format because it's 1 gigabyte and we don't want that. But that will be on the website, and as will the messages from today will be in our sermons section. So just wanted to let everybody know that we've preserved those things and that they will be available on the website. We'll be showing the video tomorrow at 12 o'clock right after the service here for those who missed it. And guess what? We're going to have lunch after church tomorrow. So we got so much leftovers. And then we're going to have dinner after church tomorrow night. So plan on a lot of sandwiches tomorrow. Psalm 33, you know, today is just all about glorifying the Lord and lifting Him up, because everything that's happened here is because of Him. He's the one that gives us the abilities to serve Him. He's the one that does it through us because He indwells us. And He is worthy of all the glory and all the praise. God tells us He will not share His glory with anyone. And so I just want to encourage us today that we're here to praise God, not only today, but we're here to praise God every day. Amen. We're here to bring Him glory. And so Psalm 33, we're going to look at the first five verses together. The Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." So I've entitled the message, "Praise is Comely." Praise is comely. Let's pray. I pray, Lord, You'd use Your word now as we finish off this celebration to speak to every one of our hearts, Lord, to encourage us, to grow us. Lord, whatever the need might be, may You use Your powerful word to meet those needs now. Most of all, Lord, may You be magnified and glorified in all that's said and done and has been today. Lord, we just want to praise You. And so may You be lifted up now as we're drawn to You. And we love You. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise is comely for the upright. If you had to pick one thing that's comely for us as wicked sinners, now we're only upright because of the blood of Jesus, amen? But if you had to pick one thing that's comely, pick this: praising God. And as you're going to see, there's a lot to praise God for. And we need to get in the habit of praising God all the time. All of us do. That's why we're here. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And God is worthy of our praise, as we've seen here and as we see all through God's Word. But God tells us to rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for it's comely for us to praise Him. And you know, if you go to Psalm 145, the Bible says that that's something that should be in our mouths all the time. Psalm 145, verse 21, is praising God. And I would hope that each of us could just get into the habit of all day, every day, just saying those words. Praise the Lord. Praise God. However you want to say it. We let the charismatics scare us a bit too much. Seriously. It doesn't hurt to say praise the Lord. Or to say praise God. Even when the trials come. Even when somebody hurts you. But there's always so much to praise God for. Notice Psalm 145:21. "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. And let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever." My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. We should be speaking the praise of the Lord. When we're out there witnessing to the lost, what are we doing but telling them the good news of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ? But we're magnifying the One who made all that possible by being willing to become a man and die in our place. We're glorifying Him. "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord." And He goes on to tell us in our passage that we can do that with what we say, but we can also do it with our singing. Why do we sing in church? We sing in church to praise the Lord. Go through the hymn book and try to find how many hymns in there don't mention the name of Jesus Christ. There aren't many. You know why that is? Because we're here to sing about Him. As it says in verse 2, praise the Lord with harp, sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. I've never been able to understand how the Church in Christ, you know, in America, believe you shouldn't have instruments in church when you read passages like this. It's like, how do you get around that? God even tells us to use instruments to praise Him and to sing. And when you look in the Old Testament, when the temple was dedicated, all those instruments were playing, and then the glory of the Lord came down and filled the house of God to where the priests couldn't even go inside. But it was brought on by people playing and singing praise unto the Lord. And David even said in Psalm 42, when I remember these things, he said, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went to them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. When we come to church, we should be coming expecting to rejoice and to praise God. Verse 3, sing unto Him a new song. When we got saved, God made us a new creature. Amen? Amen? So God says we should have a new song. And you know, when you look at verses like this, there's other places. The Bible even says in Isaiah chapter 12 that the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. I'm definitely not a Hebrew expert, but if you look at the Hebrew behind that word song in Isaiah 12:2, that's not just referring to the singing. It's an instrumental term. And so even our instrumental music has to be new. And we talk about this in our music class, but we're here to sing a new song. And it's interesting that after David said that in Psalm 40, he says, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. We're here to praise God. But then he tells us some things that we're to praise Him for. And so that takes us to verse 4. Firstly, it's scriptural appropriate to praise God for His Word. Where would we be without the Word of God? Think about it. We wouldn't know about God other than what we see in creation. But we wouldn't know about His person. We wouldn't know His will for our lives. We wouldn't know about sin. We wouldn't know His love for us if He hadn't written it down for us. But He did. And David said, the word of the Lord is right here. And if you look through the scriptures, it's okay to praise God for His word. As a matter of fact, he says in Psalm 119, 164, 7 times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. It's okay to praise God, well, it looks like 7 times a day, for His word. For His word. You know, the Bible even tells us Psalm 138, 2, it says, for Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. Often people accuse us, independent Baptists, of being Bible worshipers. But the last I checked, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when we praise God for His Word, we're really praising Him for Jesus Christ, because He is the Word. Amen? The Bible says when He returns in Revelation 19, His name is called the Word of God. And that word comes out as a two-edged sword and judges the nations. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word, and we just need to praise God every day that He gave it to us. Amen? And that we are one of the fortunate ones. There's still people in the world that don't even have a copy of this in their language. Well, most Christians have multiple copies. Most of them are collecting dust, sadly. But we need to be praising God for His Word. Secondly, verse 4, it says, and all His works are done in truth. We need to be praising God for what He's done, for His works. How often do we just stop and reflect for all the wonderful things God has done for us? Count your many blessings, as we sing often. How often do we do that? Especially maybe when we're going through a trial or a heavy time in our lives. How often do we just stop and reflect, look at all that God has done for me. He not only saved me, but look at all the things He's done for me since I was saved. And David was one that would often write about those things and say, I remember these things. I remember what God has done for me. And David went through trials too. Go to Psalm 107, where David mentions this. And it's actually written as almost a request, if you will. But notice Psalm 107. Now, this phrase is repeated multiple times in 107. So if God says something over and over, it's probably important. Amen? Because He chose what to write for us. He chose how much to write for us. So if he says this over and over, which He does. Verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Sometime go home and read through Psalm 107. See how many times that phrase is repeated. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. We should be praising God every day, multiple times a day, not only for His Word, but for what He's done. In our own lives and in the lives of others, as we read about in the Scriptures, the things that He's done in the lives of the Old Testament saints, praise God. Praise God. Thirdly, verse 5 of our passage, the Bible says, He loveth righteousness and judgment. It is scriptural to praise God for who He is. We are so blessed, if you go to Psalm 63, we are so blessed to serve a God that is holy, a God that is gracious, a God that is merciful, a God that is long-suffering, a God that is loving, a God that is righteous, and we could go on and on. The God that the heathen serve is the God of anger, a God that has to be appeased. That's not the God of the universe. And we should be praising God every day for just who He is. Note Psalm 63:3. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. What a statement. His loving kindness is better than life? Think about what that's saying. And because of that, he says, I'm going to praise God. Psalm 138:2, he says, I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. And then look at Psalm 99, if you would, while you're turning over. Psalm 99, verse 3. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Even God's name is holy. We don't have time to go into it, but the holiness of the Lord is the foundational attribute of God that permeates the entire Old Testament, upon which everything else was built. Should we be praising God for those things? Absolutely. Would we be here today if God wasn't loving? Nope. Because if God wasn't loving, then He wouldn't have died on the cross for us. He wouldn't have said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, if God wasn't forgiving. We'd all be zapped into eternity the second we make a mistake if God wasn't long-suffering. And we could go on all afternoon, couldn't we? We need to be praising God not only for His Word, not only for what He's done, but also for who He is. The person that He is. And not in the person sense, you understand what I mean, but His person. His attributes, just what a wonderful God that we serve. And then look lastly, Psalm 33, verse 5. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Do you know it's okay to praise God for His creation? Because He created it. Amen. And the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. God says that we can look anywhere and see His fingerprints. That's what the Bible says. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that we're without excuse as His creation. Why? Because it says that the things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Where can we see these things? When we look at what He's made. We can see this beautiful thing called creation. It's a reflection of God. And His power, that creation is so intricate, it's so amazing. And, you know, we could go on all afternoon just talking about all the amazing things that we see in creation, but it's okay to praise God for what He's made. for us to enjoy and for us to see. And like that verse was in the slide presentation, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You know that every aspect of God's creation, except man, does what it was designed to do. God built every plant, every animal, everything that God made, He made it to do something. Right? Even blackberries. And I'm going to confess, I don't like blackberries. I like eating them, but I don't like the plants. God made them. And they do what they were designed to do, which is get spread by birds and drive us crazy, right? Because they were part of the curse to remind us about our fall. But every aspect of God's creation, everything, it does what it was designed to do except man. And we rebel. We were designed to fellowship with Him. We were designed to bring glory to Him. We were designed to praise Him. And we go the opposite way. Every now and then, He gets a hold of one of us, and we hear the gospel, and we become a new creature, and then we start trying to go that way. But the rebellion's still always there, isn't it? It's fascinating. So when you think about this last point, don't focus on man per se. Look at the rest of creation. And be in awe of what God has done. And praise Him for it. So if I could just encourage you with one thing today, find opportunity every day, all day, whenever you can, to just praise God. Is He worthy of it? Absolutely. Does He ask for it? Yes. Should we be doing it? Absolutely. Do we as much as we should? No. Because we're self-centered. We are rebellious. We're selfish. But we're here for Him. He made us for Him originally to spend time with Him. And because of what Jesus did on Calvary, all that has been restored. We can now enter the Holy of Holies and speak personally with the Creator of the entire universe. Think about that. Man couldn't do that before Calvary. Not the way we can. And He did all that to restore the fellowship. And then we don't fellowship. Sometimes we'll read a list, maybe. But He just wants us to fellowship with Him. He wants us to get in here and just spend time with Him and just talk to Him and cry unto Him. But you know what? He also wants us to praise Him. So it doesn't hurt that much. Let me show you. Let's just say, praise the Lord together. Okay, you ready? Praise the Lord. Did that hurt? Did that feel okay? Not that we're supposed to go on our feelings, but it's okay to say praise the Lord, isn't it? Okay, let's try another one. Let's say praise God together. Praise God. That wasn't so bad, was it? See, we've let the charismatics scare a lot of this out of us. And I'm not trying to advocate you jumping around, okay? Please, don't start dancing during the service. But don't be afraid to praise the Lord all the time. Every time you have opportunity to reflect on what He's done, on who He is, on His Word, His creation, praise Him. Take the 1 second that it takes to just praise Him. And you know what? It'll change your life. Because it'll change your focus. God is worthy. And the Bible says that praise is comely. In other words, it looks good on the upright. You know, we've all chose what we were going to wear today. You all look really nice, by the way. I don't see one outfit that puts me off. Not that I pay much attention to those things. But God says that praise is comely for the upright. Praise. Well, there's only one worthy of any praise at any time, and that's God. So He's talking about praising Him. And it's comely. So let's do it. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I pray.